May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves, through grace, are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Holy Word of God in the Gospel according to Matthew, a part of chapter 1 and chapter 2. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, we'll commence reading at verse 18, reading to the end of chapter 2. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoice with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and went and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word, and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty and most merciful God of heaven, we do desire now to bow before thy glorious majesty. Thy word instructs us that thou art in heaven and we upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few, for in the multitude of words there wanteth not iniquity. O Lord, we bow as poor sinners before thy glorious majesty. Thou art holy and pure, without spot. We read in thy word concerning thee, Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. But Lord, we are unholy. We cannot come to thee in our name. We cannot come to thee in our person. From the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, we are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is no soundness in my flesh. But oh, we do thank thee, O Lord, that though we cannot bow before thee in our own name and in our own person, thou hast made a wonderful provision in the person of thine only begotten Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of a woman and made under the law. We come to thee in his name. Thy word, O Lord, directs us. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, we come to thee in his precious name, and we plead his precious merits, that precious blood that was shed at the cross of Calvary, that glorious everlasting righteousness that he has brought in. Lord Jesus, we do desire even this day to come and worship thee. We do desire to touch the hem of thy garment. We do desire to draw from that sacred fullness that is in thee. We do desire, as the dear apostle, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, we do pray, most gracious Lord, that as we gather together this day, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide with us for thy great name's sake. Oh, we do pray for a humble and a teachable spirit. And Lord, we have to be given such a spirit. We pray for humility and love. We pray for those sacred graces of the Spirit to be an exercise in our soul. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God. That we may, O Lord, have that spirit of love. As we read in thy word, that the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we pray that it may be so today, that precious love of Jesus Christ shed abroad in our hearts. And that we may, O Lord, have that sacred sense and experience and realization that for the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, we do pray that it may be so even this day, that we may be constrained to run in the way of thy holy commandments, that we may be constrained to walk in the way that thou hast ordained for us, that we may be constrained, O Lord, to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. We pray that we may be led and taught by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, we do pray, most gracious Lord, that thy word may be opened unto our heart and to our understanding. Let thy word, O Lord, be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Shine into our hearts through thy word, by thy Spirit. We do beseech thee, reveal unto us, O blessed Spirit, the sacred glories of Jesus Christ, the wonderful glories of his person, of who he is, the eternal Son of the Father, and that we may worship, even as those wise men that came from the east, they bowed down and they worshipped him. We pray that even like Simeon, we may be given, O Lord, that wonderful blessing to take thee in our arms, in the arms of faith. And then he could say, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before all people. Lord, what a wonderful, memorable day it would be if we could take the Lord Jesus in our arms, if we might hear the voice of our beloved, and that we may follow him, and that we may leave everything else, take up our cross, denying ourselves, and follow in the Lord Jesus. Lord, give us that grace to do this, O Lord, we do beseech thee. Look upon this church and this congregation. Do richly bless them. Make them a truly spiritual people. Work mightily, powerfully and effectually in their midst. Holy, blessed, divine Spirit, pour forth thy power upon thy servants as they come in and out among this people, and grant that there may be mighty signs and wonders that shall follow the preaching of the word, that the dead may hear thy voice, that the blind may see, the deaf may hear, the lame may walk, O Lord, the dumb may speak. Lord, do grant that we may see these mighty acts of grace among this people. A gathering unto Jesus Christ, a worshipping in his holy hill of Zion, the work of thy blessed Spirit so manifest among them, and the love of Christ shed abroad. Grant, O Lord, that we may be determined to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that they may be determined to know that in hearing nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Grant them, O Lord, good appetites. We do humbly beseech Thee, not satisfied with the chaff, but desiring Thee precious wheat. O most gracious Lord, do incline Thine ear and do bless this people. Do bless them, O Lord, as a church. Unite them together in Thy holy fear. Grant them the spirit of love, union and communion. And grant that there may be a fulfilling of the word, that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance was written. O Lord, may it be so. We do beseech Thee that we may speak to one another in spiritual things, that we may edify one another. O Lord, do grant this grace unto us. We do humbly beseech of Thee. Pray Thy blessing upon the little ones and the children that are brought into the sanctuary. We pray Thy rich blessing upon the young friends, that Thou wouldst have mercy upon them and guide them in all the matters of providence, in their education, in their employment. Do be with them and guide them in all these things. But above all, O Lord, bless them with those rich spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Preserve them from all evil, O Lord, and lead them in the way everlasting, we do beseech Thee. And those in the midst of life, those parents bringing up children, give wisdom and understanding to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And do grant, O Lord, Thy blessing upon those as they go on through life's journey, bearing the heat and the burden of the day. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from the power and dominion of sin. Deliver us from the workings of our own sinful, corrupt heart. And bring us into union with Jesus Christ, to know Thee, to serve Thee, and to follow Thee in our day and in our generation. We do humbly beseech of Thee. Help us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Thee, which is our reasonable service. Bless and undertake for those in the evening time of life's journey, and graciously go before them, and grant, O Lord, Thy gracious help day by day, and their heart and their affections to be set upon things above and not on things of the earth. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst prepare us for that great day, and that Thou wouldst have mercy upon each one of us. We pray, most gracious Lord, that Thou wouldst bless our brethren, the deacons, and give needed grace, wisdom, and help unto them in all the responsibilities that devolve upon them in the sanctuary. We pray and yea, beseech Thee that Thou wouldst grant this people a living, settled ministry, one of Thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. We pray Thy blessing upon the preached word in this place, among the congregation here, but we pray that the light and glory and power of gospel truth may shine into Swavesey and the surrounding villages and hamlets, and precious souls may be gathered in. Oh, hear us, O Lord, we pray Thee, and give Thy gospel good success, and make bare Thine holy arm. What we pray for this little house of prayer, we pray for all the little houses of prayer up and down the nation. We pray for each of Thy labouring servants as they preach the word, that they may know that holy anointing of the Spirit, that they may see mighty signs and wonders through preaching the word. And we pray, most gracious Lord, that Thou, the great Lord of the harvest, would raise up and send forth true labourers into the harvest, that Thou would return to Jerusalem with mercies. For Lord, without Thee we can do nothing, we are nothing. Oh, we pray for Thy Zion throughout this nation and throughout the nations of the earth, and beseech Thee to arise and have mercy upon Thy Zion. We do beseech Thee. We pray that Thou wouldst now be with us as we turn to Thy holy word, and do grant that Thou wouldst come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. And that we do pray for truly thankful hearts, for the abundance of thy mercies, for the glory of Christ, for the wonders of redeeming love, for the new and living way, for the precious atoning blood of Jesus, for the glorious everlasting righteousness of Jesus the Son of God, for the sacred sacrifice of the cross, for the glory of the resurrection, for the wonders of an ascended Saviour sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. O Lord God, we would seek to enter thy gates with praise and with the voice of thanksgiving, and pray that thou wouldst now come and bless our souls for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
In number 694, Lord, direct thy own sent servant, teach him how and what to speak, make him humble, wise and fervent, skilled the bread of life to break. Let each child enjoy a portion, feel their souls alive to God, freed from pride and empty notion, eat thy flesh and drink thy blood. Hymn 694.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the second chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and we will read verse 13 for our text. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. These opening chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, how they instruct us so clearly, so beautifully, in the birth of Jesus Christ, that wonderful act of divine grace, of the love of the everlasting Father, who sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. As we read in the first chapter of John's Gospel, and the Word, and that term, the Word, it's almost peculiar to the Apostle John, and it actually refers to the person of the Son of God. The glorious person of the Son of God. And if you notice the way that the Word of God is framed, and we should indeed look closely at how it is written, for it is the Word of God, and he said, and the Word was made flesh. See the distinction that is made between the term the Word, which refers to the divine nature of the Son of God, and the sacred human nature that the Son of God was to assume in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And there is that clear distinction that is made in Holy Scripture, teaching us of this deep and sacred mystery of godliness. As we're told in the Epistle of Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That holy person of Jesus Christ is indeed the holy God-man. As we read together in the first chapter, and he quotes here, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child. See, we read in the Old Testament, who hath heard of such a thing? A virgin shall be with child. Why, it completely defies everything concerning human nature and natural generation. But it is purposely recorded and emphasized in Holy Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was not born by natural generation. If he had have been born by natural generation, that human nature that he assumed would have been stained and died in sin. We are born in sin, every single one of us. We are the sons and daughters of Adam. And the Word of God declares plainly that we are born in sin, that we are shapen in iniquity. Do we know it? That's the vital thing. We know the truth of it in God's Word and what we're taught in God's Word. But how many of us here in this chapel this morning know this truth? That you are indeed born in sin. You feel it. You know it. You have a sinful nature. You have a sinful heart. It's something that troubles and tries and perplexes the living child of God. Their sinful heart, their sinful nature, the corruptions of their heart and of their nature is something that troubles them, that bothers them, that concerns them. But this man, we read that term several times in the epistle to the Hebrews, but this man, who? The man Christ Jesus. This glorious, holy God-man. Cannot be said of any other man that has been born into this world, holy. He was born holy. He was born pure. He was born without sin. That holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Let's just be clear as we just touch here upon the doctrine of the incarnation of the Son of God, as to what is taught us in Holy Scripture concerning this doctrine of the incarnation of the Son of God. There are not two persons in Jesus Christ. That would be utter confusion. There is one person, the person of the Son of God. But in that glorious God-man are two natures, the God and the man. And that is the deep, profound mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. We can't explain it. Nobody can. It's a profound mystery. That the eternal, infinite, almighty God of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, became a man. How can it be so? One of the hymn writers, he says, how it was done we can't discuss. But this we know, 'twas done for us. It's a profound mystery. And there's this beautiful word, you see, behold, a virgin shall be with child. It's quoting here from Isaiah chapter 7. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Which being interpreted is God with us. You know, my beloved friends, for all the dignity and worth of the work of Jesus Christ, of what he came to do, what he came to accomplish, it can only be done and accomplished by him. None other than less almighty God could do this. He came to save his people from their sins. And to do that, it was purposed and decreed that he, the Son of God, would become a man. Would live here below. As the apostle puts it so beautifully, so clearly in Galatians chapter 4 verse 4. Made of a woman. Made under the law. That he might redeem them that are under the law. Made of a woman. Made under the law. You see, we are instructed in Holy Scripture that the law was made for man. And that's what is meant when it says, made under the law. The law was made for man. So the Son of God became man, therefore made under the law. And he lived under that holy law as a man. That holy law that comprehends the whole of the human race. The law was made for man. That righteous law of God. That divine standard of holiness. The law was made for man. Man has broken that law. As in Adam all die, the law has a solemn curse that attends it. Divinely ordered of God, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. The apostle says, we have the sentence of death within ourselves. And that is true of every man, woman and child that enters into this world. We're born in sin. And because we're born in sin, we have the sentence of death within ourselves. For we must needs die, said the wise woman of Tekoa when she came before David the king. For we must needs die and be as water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered again. We must needs die. Why? Because we're sin. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. We go forth from the womb speaking lies and hypocrisy. My beloved friends, we sin because we're sinners. We sin because we're sinners. It's the natural propensity and bent of our heart. We're born in that way. But this man, the man Christ Jesus, he was without sin. He was born without sin. As it says in Luke, that holy thing, no sin in Jesus Christ. He did no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. Perfect, holy. Now the eternal Father, in infinite love to his church, whom he had chosen before the foundation of the world, he ordained and he purposed to send forth his only begotten Son. God, that is God the Father, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him to redeem. That's what he came to do. I come not to condemn the world, but to save it. That's what he came to do. And so this glorious divine mystery, this person of Jesus Christ, this Son of God manifest in the flesh, he came to do a work. I come to do the will of him that sent me. The Lord Jesus is speaking in Psalm 40. It's quoted several times in the New Testament. I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law. Doesn't the verse begin, lo, I come? Lo, I come. I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to do what his people could not do. He came to do, sinner, what you cannot do. He came to fulfill that holy law. He came to fulfill it for his people. And that perfect obedience of this holy God-man, the man Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, that perfect obedience is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's a lovely expression in the prophet Daniel. And Daniel, he speaks in those visions, etc., that was revealed unto him. He says, until, and he's speaking of the advent of Jesus Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ, he says, until everlasting righteousness be brought in. And he's speaking of Christ. Everlasting righteousness brought in. You see, this, what we were referring to, all the dignity and worth of everything that Jesus Christ did is in this, that he is the Son of God. And so, when he lives a perfect, holy, sinless life as a man on earth, that sacred human nature that the Son of God assumed in the womb of the Virgin Mary, it's his own personal human nature. Therefore, that righteousness that he brought in by living a life of perfect obedience to the law, it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is of eternal worth. It is of infinite worth. Therefore, the Word of God declares it's everlasting righteousness. We read in Psalm 119 in two or three places, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. It's referring to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness, that perfect obedience of Jesus Christ, of Emmanuel, God with us, that becomes the righteousness of the children of God. By faith, the Lord Jesus, he has another name that is given in Holy Scripture, in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 23, in capital letters, the Lord our righteousness In the margin it says Jehovah Tsidkenu. That is what it is in the original Hebrew. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord, our righteousness. Notice how it's put. Our righteousness. When a poor sinner is brought to Jesus Christ by faith, when they are united to Jesus Christ by faith, when the Holy Spirit convinces them of their sinful condition, of their unrighteous state that they are found in, when he brings them to Jesus Christ, they find a righteousness in Jesus Christ that is supremely attractive unto their souls. They say, they know, they realize, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, there is no soundness in my flesh. But when, in the spirit of faith, wrought in the heart by the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ is revealed, there's an everlasting righteousness in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. An everlasting righteousness. It's a righteousness, as we read in the Word, a righteousness that will never be abolished. This is what, so that holy life of Jesus Christ, we often speak of the vicarious sufferings and death of Christ, and the word vicarious, it means substitutionary, it means in the room and in the place of. And so we often hear spoken of the sacred sufferings and death of Jesus Christ, resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it was substitutionary, that it was in the room and the place of his people. But you know, my beloved friends, the life of Jesus Christ was vicarious, was substitutionary. He lived a life, a perfect life, a holy life. He lived it for his people. He lived it on the behalf of his people, for his people. They are made righteous in him. It's called in Holy Scripture the robe of his righteousness. A robe of righteousness that clothes his people. We have that revealed to us in the 7th chapter of the book of the Revelation, when John, he has a vision of those that were in white robes. Who are these that are in white raiment? These are they that came out of great tribulation. Who is it? It's the church of God. It's the saints of God. They came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, the only reason, my beloved friends, that they're before the throne of God is because of that everlasting righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's because of that precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, all the dignity and worth of that precious blood is this. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's the worth and dignity of it. The power there is in the blood of Christ. The efficacy there is in the blood of Christ. It cleanses from all sin. It purges from all sin. You know, the word efficacy, just in case perhaps some of you young friends, you don't know the meaning of the word efficacy. You say, what does that mean? Well, if the doctor gives you some medicine, some tablets or some medicine to take, and it has the good and desired effect to cure you of that disease, it means that that medication was efficacious. It did what it was meant to do. You see, in the blood of Christ, is efficacious. It does what it was meant to do. It takes away sin. That precious blood of Jesus Christ, efficacious blood, powerful blood that purges away all sin. Emmanuel. And this is the foundation that is laid. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. This is the foundation of the hope of the Lord's living family. They're sinners. They feel and know that they're sinners. And their hope, as the hymn writer puts it beautifully, doesn't he? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know, as I was meditating here in these words and in this passage of Scripture, you notice when we read how many times that we read in this passage of Scripture that it might be fulfilled. You know, the Word of God will be fulfilled completely and absolutely in the very finest of details. It is God's holy Word. It cannot change. It cannot alter. And so we see in these little things that happened in the birth, in the life, in the walk, in the conduct, in every little thing that happened in the life of Jesus Christ was according to God's will. And it was prophesied in Holy Scripture. And we read here in the first chapter, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by his prophets. You see, this blessed book, the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction, for rebuke, for blessing. It's spoken by God. It will be fulfilled. And just as in all these little details that were fulfilled, and as we have it so many times in the various little things that happened in the life of Jesus Christ. You see, in our text, he was commanded to take him into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. If you look at the prophecies concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, and like this one, out of Egypt have I called my son. How? And another one, he shall be called a Nazarene. And you look at all those prophecies without the benefit of the life of Jesus Christ, as they did in the Old Testament. How do you marry them all together? It was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. It was prophesied that he would be a Nazarene. It was prophesied that he would call his son out of Egypt. How would you marry them things together? If you're looking at we can see, we have the benefit of hindsight. We have Scripture that teaches us how these things were fulfilled. You see, even the slaying of these little babes under 2 years old, all the children under 2 years old in and around Bethlehem were slaughtered by Herod. Why? Because he was so afraid of the King of the Jews, of Jesus Christ, that all he was concerned with doing was destroying this supposed king, the Messiah. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, and lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. It was fulfilled, you see, by God. And in the last verse of chapter 2, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And so, all those obscure prophecies in the Old Testament, every single one of them was fulfilled in the minutest detail in the person of Jesus Christ. We read in the death of Jesus Christ, when the soldiers pierced his side, and then it says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. It was fulfilled. And then that when the soldiers came to break his legs, which was the normal custom to hasten death, They break the legs of the two thieves, and when they came to the Lord Jesus, he was dead already. That the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. You see, all these minute things. God is the same God today, my beloved friends. His word shall be fulfilled. Maybe you have a word that the Lord has given you many years ago, and it's sorely tried, and you feel greatly perplexed as to whether it was the word of the Lord that was spoken to your heart, a promise that was given, and everything seems to go against that promise that was given. And you say, well, surely this word was not a right word. My beloved friends, if the God of heaven has sealed by his Spirit a sacred promise of his word into your heart, it will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. There's no doubt whatsoever about it. It will be fulfilled in every detail, in his time and in his way. Where the Lord brings us is to wait upon him. And that is the posture of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for yet not seen. Things hoped for yet not seen. What you're waiting for, what you're looking for. Simeon, he was waiting for the blessing of the Lord. We're not told how long he was waiting. We're not even told his age. We don't know whether he was an old man or whether he was a younger man. But we know that he was found waiting. Hannah the prophetess, she was a very old woman, and she'd been waiting a long, long time, over 80 years. But you see, the time came when Simeon was brought by the Spirit. You see, it had been revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. And at that very instant when Mary and Joseph brought the child in to do with him according to the law, and the Spirit brought Simeon in, and he took that little babe that was no different to any other babe outwardly looking, but it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. He took that little babe in his arms and he said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. See, he couldn't fail. God had told him. And he saw, and he took that little babe in his arms, and he knew that he had in his arms the Messiah. The Messiah. Wonderful, precious truth. Now, my beloved friends, that word that God has sealed into your heart, it will be fulfilled in his own time and in his own way. And in all these dealings here at this time, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream. You see, this dear man of God was being led of the Lord, guided and directed in every minute step, and scripture was being fulfilled. Think of the wise men. We're not told how many there were. The popular notion is that there were three wise men, and the reason for that is because they brought gold, frankincense and myrrh. But we're not actually told there were three wise men. We are just told that there were wise men that came from the east and they saw his star. It was revealed unto them. Has anything been revealed unto you? Has anything been revealed unto me? In real religion, there is a revelation. There is divine teaching. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, when he comes to a sinner's heart, when he is come, he will reprove, the margin says, convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. When he is come, he will convince us of our sin. Doesn't the hymn writer say, convince us of our sin, and lead to Jesus' blood, and to our wondering eyes reveal the secret love of God. It seemed to rather touch me in reading here these wise men, they'd seen his star. And they came saying, "Where is he?" They were inquiring. How many of us this morning, as you've come to the house of God, have come prayerfully, have come inquiring, have come praying unto the God of heaven? "Lord, speak to me. Lord, guide me. Lord, teach me. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, give me ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, I need something." I say, how many of us have come like that to chapel this morning? Prayerfully, carefully, seeking. Every living soul is a seeking soul. It was said of Saul of Tarsus when the Lord cut him down on the road to Damascus, "Behold, he prayeth." Can it be said of you, sinner? "Behold, he prayeth." Because let me tell you this, that's the first sign of divine life. Prayer. Nobody else may know that you pray. But the first sign of divine life is prayer. You have a need. So you begin to ask the God of heaven. You begin to seek. Begin to search. And so it was with these wise men that came from the east. They came and had seen his star in the east. It was revealed unto them, no doubt by the Holy Ghost, that this star was the star heralding the birth of the Messiah of the Jews. "Where is he that is born, which is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." And why had they come? And are come to worship him. If you come to worship, is that your desire as you've come to chapel today? To worship the Lord. Is that your desire to bow before him as a poor sinner? To confess your sins and to seek salvation in Jesus Christ? Has that been revealed unto you? "For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The Lord Jesus, he speaks encouragingly to seeking souls. He says, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And of course they were directed to Bethlehem. And they came to Bethlehem, to where the young child was. And when they saw the star above the inn of Bethlehem, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Have you seen that? Has something been to reveal to you that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life? You may not be able to say that I have a part in those blessings, but you can say that he has been revealed to you as the way, the truth and the life. And you long to know that you have a part in those blessings. You long to know the Lord Jesus. You long to have a personal revelation of Jesus Christ unto your souls. But has he brought you this far? You know that there is salvation in none other. If ever my poor soul be saved, his Christ must be the way. And you know that. Why? Because the Lord has revealed it unto you. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother, Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then they were warned of God to depart. Why? Because Herod would seek the life of this young child. This was the Messiah. In this wicked, sinful, sin-cursed world, he would be in danger. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise." This seemed to just lay hold of me yesterday morning, when I was seeking the mind of the Spirit in what I should bring to you here this morning, this verse seemed to just stand out. Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Arise and take the young child and be thou there until I bring thee word. And as I was considering this word that we have as our text, my mind was very much drawn to the Lord's servant Elijah the Tishbite, whom the God of heaven raised up and sent forth when Ahab, the wicked Ahab, was king then in Israel. And no sooner had Elijah delivered the message that he was given to take unto him, Elijah the Tishbite, we don't read anything else of Elijah at all before. Suddenly, it's almost as if he springs in on the page of Holy Scripture, divinely sent by the Lord Jehovah unto his people Israel. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence. Why? Because the Lord knew the despotic man that Ahab was, that he would immediately seek his life. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself beside the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Ravens, they eat meat themselves. And yet, under the divine hand of Almighty God, these ravens, they came every day, morning and evening, and they brought bread and meat unto the Lord's servant, and he drank of the brook. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Arise and take the young child and his mother. There's another word many years ago that had a particular impression upon me in a certain pathway. When Moses and the children of Israel had been a long time in the wilderness, and then the Lord said, arise, thou hast compassed this mount long enough, arise, move forward. There comes those times in the life of the child of God when they have to move forward. And this time came with Elijah. He was sent of God to speak to King Ahab. But no sooner had he spoken, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence. Lonely pathway, wasn't it? He was to be all on his own. Right out in the middle of nowhere, where no human eye could see him. He was to patiently sit by the brook. And day by day, the Lord sent him food, supplied all his needs. So he went. You see, the obedience of faith. So he went. We read of another Abraham, father of the faithful. And he was in Ur of the Chaldees. That's where he was raised up. And what did the Lord say to him? Get thee hence. He called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he promised him a land flowing with milk and with honey, and the seed that he should have, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. We're told in the epistle to the Hebrews, he went out not knowing whither he went. He went under divine command, not knowing whither he went. He went by faith. By faith. When Moses was come to years and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, we read he forsook Egypt, he went out. And so it is with the living child of God. In this world, the time comes when that divine power of the Spirit of God is exerted in the heart. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. My beloved friends, there's a moving forward. There is. You have compassed this mount long enough. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Now, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. No longer did it supply those cooling streams for him to drink from. The brook dried up. And the word of the Lord, he said, because there had been no rain, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose. See, he arose at the command of God, at the word of God. The brook had dried up. Now he has to arise. Well, he didn't send him to a place with a great abundance, did he? No. He sent him to a place where he would live dependent upon the God of heaven. He'd been dependent on the God of heaven at the brook Cherith. And now he says, get to Zarephath, not to some wealthy widow. No. When he came there, he found this widow woman. You see, the Lord had commanded a widow woman to sustain him. And behold, the widow woman was there gathering her sticks. And he called her, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel. She was destitute. This was the last meal. This was the last meal. But an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. What a test of faith here. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. You know, naturally speaking, you say, that's very unreasonable, wouldn't you? Go and make me a cake first. Even though this was absolutely her last. Go and make me a cake first. But then he speaks this wonderful promise. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. You see, the barrel of meal wasted not. My God shall supply all your needs. It will not waste. We do not read that the Lord filled up the barrel of meal. We do not read that he filled up the cruse of oil. But every time she went, there was a handful of meal in the barrel, and there was a little oil in the cruse. Every time she went. I was relating last evening to our friends here, my late grandparents, Mr. Jabez Field of Blackboys. And they had 9 children, and they were in great poverty. And that they'd come down to half a loaf of bread, which had got to be shared between 9 children and 2 parents. And my grandmother just kept slicing off the bread and giving it to the children. And she fed all of them. And when she'd finished, she still had a half a loaf of bread in her hand, you see. The barrel of meal shall not waste. The God of Elijah still lives. He does. And he will supply all your needs. My beloved friends, you see, when Abraham went out of Ur of the Chaldees. He went out not knowing whither he went, but he went in faith. He went trusting in the Lord. He went depending upon divine grace. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You know, just think for a moment of the Lord's servant Jacob. And it's recorded in Genesis chapter 28 how that he was sent out. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. See, and he arose and he went, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. That ladder represents Jesus Christ. That one mediator between God and man, there was a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. He was here on earth. He's the eternal Son of the Father, reaching unto heaven. And behold, the angels, that's the messenger of God, ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. And in all our pathways, the Lord stands above it. He sees all your ways. He sees all your pathways. He knows all your concerns and all your fears. He beholds, and behold, the Lord stood above it. He said to him, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. But this is what I wanted to come to. In verse 15, and behold, I am with thee. What a sweet promise, isn't it? And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I am with thee. I will not leave thee. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. And then, as we read on in this chapter, when Herod died, then when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose. May the Lord add his blessing.
Collections last Lord's Day were £635, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pont will preach on Friday evening, and not, as I wrongly put on the notices in the week, Tuesday evening. Mr. Pont on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Charles Warboys will preach in the evening. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Let us close with hymn 596. God is a spirit, just and wise. His footsteps who can trace? His love more ancient than the skies breaks forth in boundless grace. Hymn 596. Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.